Welcome to Hanging at the Hangar Bar. I'm Scott.
I'm Candace.
I'm Mariah.
And I'm Lacey. Grab a drink and come hang with us at the Hangar Bar.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Hangar Bar. I am super excited to be back with you for another Falling Down the Rabbit Hole episode. We decided that this week we'd dig a little bit into one of my favorite attractions. Every time I end one of our podcasts, I end it with the same thing. You can probably all say it with me by now. Remember, there's a great big beautiful tomorrow. So you might be asking yourself, why does he always choose that as the ending to every one of the podcasts that he's a part of? Well, first, the Carousel of Progress is by far my favorite attraction in all of Disney World. And it's not a thrill coaster. It's not a live show. It's quintessential Disney, but it is not what you would normally expect someone's favorite to be. It's filled with certainly quite a bit of nostalgia for me. Candace actually had to drag me on it the first time because I'm like, this sounds boring. Why would I want to do that? And now it's an every trip or more than once every trip. I think part of the reason why I love this ride so much or this attraction so much is that I love American history and I love Americana. And that's what that entire show is all about. And I also love seeing how far technology has come, not only in what the show is showing us from a technology perspective, but being able to sit back and look at some of the things that are about this ride and just see how far we've come throughout the rest of the parks is just absolutely fantastic. Not to mention, it is an absolutely perfect way to spend 20 minutes in the air conditioning. And I'll tell you what, here's my hot take for today. The song Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow is better than Small World. Okay, now, why are we going to spend an entire episode talking about this? It feels like that could just wrap it up, right? So, it's somewhere in my head, I had learned that Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow may not have been the original song with Carousel of Progress. So, that made me want to dig a little bit deeper and find out what it was. I know the other song, and we'll get to that in a little bit. And you guessed it, that was my impetus for falling down another rabbit hole. So sit back, relax, and join me for some fun facts, some interesting tidbits, and some things that might make you a hero at your next Disney trivia night. So before we get into kind of falling down the rabbit hole, let's start at a super high level, and let's talk through what the ride is. So I'm going to describe it for you. It's considered to be the longest continuous running stage show in American history. The actors never get tired, and they can do a show every 20 minutes without the need for breaks. They are some of the first ever human audio animatronics created by Walt Disney and Imagineering. So that's why it's had more showings than any other show in the history of theater. So the attraction itself is four separate scenes, and the audience rotates around the stage. Thus, it's like a carousel. The first scene is a turn of the 20th century farmhouse, so around 1900, with all of the modern conveniences of that day. There's not any electricity, the laundry is hanging on the line, but John's wife Sarah is talking about her newfangled washing device that lets her get a load of laundry done in 5 hours instead of 2 days. Entertainment options for the kids and dad was a stereoscope with pictures of girls dancing the Hoochie Coochie, and John talks about the Wright brothers and their newfangled flying machine that he just doesn't think is going to work out. So after 5 minutes of describing 1900s, Act Two takes place in the 1920s. You start to see the advent of things like the electric light and electric appliances. Things go a little haywire when everything turns on at once, and the house blows a fuse and the neighborhood goes dark. Instead of the stereoscope for entertainment, they now have a radio that they can all listen to broadcasts from all over the country with. Oh, and this was the first time that their house had plumbing, which leads to one of the more iconic lines in the entire show, where Uncle Orville, sitting in a bathtub filled with cool water and a fan running on him, exclaims, "Can't get no privacy around here at all." My favorite line. I don't know why. It is probably my favorite line in any show ever. I quote it more than I should, honestly. So once that 1920s scene wraps up, we jump into Act 3, which is the 1940s. John is sitting in his kitchen table with a newfangled appliances that hold more food, cook food quicker, and he even has an automated dishwasher, which John says gives him more time for walks with Rover. Because he doesn't have to help with the dishes anymore. Boo on John. His daughter Patty uses an old exercise machine from the 20s, and his wife is in the basement making a new rumpus room. John tells us all about how he joined the rat race and has become a commuter from the suburbs. I'm going light on the story. I want you all to go see it and live this show yourself. So I'm trying not to give too many spoilers here. So if this seems like a light description for those of you that have been on it, it is a light description. And I'm doing that on purpose. So after the 1940s, we jump ahead to current day in Act 4. The lights are controlled by voice, Grandma is playing VR video games with the kids, and John is cooking the turkey in a voice-controlled oven, hoping not to ruin it like he did last Christmas. Now again, I'm not going to spoil all of it for you, but it's a fantastic little attraction that you have to do at least once, and like I said, if you go to Disney World with me, you have to do it at least once per time in the Magic Kingdom. If we go to Magic Kingdom twice, I'm going on that ride twice. So let's dig in a little bit deeper. Let's fall down the rabbit hole just a little bit. This ride has roots dating all the way back to the 1950s. Disneyland was not cheaply built at all. But the Walt Disney Company didn't have a ton of money either, and they were looking for ways to save money. So a lot of what they did was partnership with other companies. This still goes on a lot today. For example, if you go to Disney World, the People Mover is sponsored by Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and they even have their advertisements going over the narration. So even our beloved Dole Whip that we always talk about is from the Dole Pineapple Company sponsorship. So Disney is still very much into these sponsorships and using advertising dollars to help them make the parks what they are. So back in the 50s, GE, General Electric, and Walt had an idea to show off all the cool things that their new appliances could do. Walt was looking to expand Main Street USA and Disneyland with two different districts, both of which would eventually morph into something different. The first was Edison Square, and we'll get into more of that in just 1 minute. The second new district was going to be International Street. Can anybody guess what that might have turned into later? World Showcase in Epcot, anyone? I think so. So let's go back. Since we're talking about the Carousel of Progress, we have to start in the Edison Square District. And it was to have an attraction that was to be called Harnessing the Lightning. It would be hosted by an electromechanical man named Wilbur K. Watt and would chronicle the evolution of electricity in the home of the late 19th century to modern times. GE wanted to partner to show off how much appliances, specifically GE appliances, had made American life so much better for everyone. It would be set up that the audience would move to the next show after each act, so the audience would have to get up and move. The logistics of that just were not what Walt wanted at all. And so he scrapped that idea. Getting people up and the time it takes to move them to another theater and the downtime between, all of that just would have made for a not great show. And if you know anything about Walt, you knew he was always concerned with the show and plussing the show. So that whole Edison Square idea went out the window. GE still wanted to partner with Disney in some way. It took a while, but they had the opportunity when the 1964-65 World's Fair was being planned. Eventually, I may do a Falling Down the Rabbit Hole episode about the 64-65 event alone, because so much of what we know about Disney came out of that, and you can still see that in the parks today. Autopia, The People Mover, Small World, Carousel of Progress. Think about all the ride tech that came from just those things. A boat ride like Small World eventually develops into rides like Pirates or Living with the Land. Omnimover attractions like the People Mover morph into things like Journey Under the Sea and Haunted Mansion. As Candace says, there are no coincidences at Disney. Okay, sorry for that little bit of a diatribe. Let's get back to the 1964 World's Fair. GE still wanted to work with Disney and asked him to put together a show for the fair. Walt, never one to say no to an opportunity, jumped at it and said, "Hey, you're going to provide the funding? Genius idea. Let's do this. So Walt went back to his idea for the Edison Square concept that he had 10 years prior, but knew it needed to change. Technology had come a long way since then. They took the work that they had done in the Tiki Room with the audio animatronics and Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln to rethink how audio animatronics for this show could be done. The Imagineers also came up with the concept of leaving people seated and moving them around the stage to limit the amount of time and effort the audience had to provide. This let them stay seated comfortably for the different scenes and avoided the hassle and the time it takes to move people from one theater to another. Here's some interesting Disney trivia for you. At the 64-65 World's Fair, and I think this still holds true of later iterations of the ride too, it's a people eater. This ride could load and unload 200 people every 4 minutes. And at the 64-65 World Fair, people waited in line for over an hour in some cases just to be able to see this show. Do that math for a minute. 200 people in and out every 4 minutes and waiting for an hour. That line had to have had 4,000 or 5,000 people in it in the blazing hot summer sun in New York. So in 65, they actually ended up putting a canopy over an empty lot area to help people stay cool as they waited in that long line. I don't mind lines. We did an episode a few back for somebody that hated lines. The lines aren't that long for it anymore. You don't find 4,000 people standing in line for Carousel of Progress anymore. And it still moves people through quickly because you're 200 seat theaters emptying every 4 minutes. So it's worth a line to stay in then, but wow, those numbers blew my mind. So after the show was over, so they went through all 20 minutes of the show, 16 minutes of the show or so. After the show was over, guests exited to a pavilion where GE had set up an exhibit to show off how they were harnessing the sun and electricity to make lives better for everyone. I only bring this up because it's going to be important here in just a minute. Spoiler alert. So here's the first thing that I kind of learned as I was going down the rabbit hole. Well, a lot of this stuff I learned. I didn't know this as I started my research, so hopefully you're learning some new things as we go through it as well. But the first thing that really surprised me was that I had always thought that there was a different song that started the Carousel of Progress. But the Sherman Brothers actually wrote the song Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow for the attraction for the 64-65 World's Fair that followed it into Disneyland when it was there. So we'll get into that a little bit more in a couple minutes as well. And the other thing that I really love, we know Walt was a visionary. We know Walt really wanted progress. Like, heck, Epcot was a progress city, that kind of thing. The Sherman Brothers at one point during an interview said that they felt that this song was Walt's theme song because he was so optimistic about the future of technology and moving forward. He never wanted to stand still and he never wanted to take things the easy way. So if you think about the words to Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow, it makes perfect sense.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away.
As you look at all the words for that, I can see how that's Walt's theme song. It's fantastic. The World's Fair was only 2 years, 64 and 65. What happened? We know that the Magic Kingdom opened in 1971 in Florida. We also know that they didn't just leave Carousel of Progress parked in New York on an empty lot for 7 years. At least I don't think so. No, it made its way back to California and Disneyland in 1967. From all of the reading that I did, the version in Disneyland only had very minor changes from the one at the World's Fair. It opened in Disneyland about 7 months after Walt died as part of the new Tomorrowland. Lots of different changes going on in the park and in the company at that time. It just is sort of fitting that ride opens up in Disneyland with a great big beautiful tomorrow just shortly after Walt's passing. GE agreed again to sponsor the ride in Disneyland as well. And the ride system at Disneyland was on the ground level. And when exiting, guests were to board an inclined walkway up to the second level, where there was another 4-minute show narrated by the mother and father while guests looked out over Progress City. Again, I mentioned, if the name Progress City sounds familiar, it was Walt's idea for the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow, or Epcot. Again, there's no coincidences at Disney. Walt was thinking about all of that well before Epcot opened in 81, or before they started the Florida project. All of those things were in his mind, just sort of bandying about. So it moves to Disneyland in 67, and as the 1970s were rolling in, the ride was becoming less and less popular. GE started to question the value that they were getting from their investment of their advertising dollars, right? So they did some math and figured out that about 80% of the people who were seeing the show were already from California and had seen the show many, many times, meaning they're not going back. You're not getting a lot of new people to hear your advertising. So that's not the biggest bang for their advertising dollars. They asked Disney at that point to move it to their new park in Florida. So GE was actually the impetus for getting Carousel of Progress from California out to Florida. So it closed in Disneyland on September 9th, 1973, and they packed it up and they moved it to Florida. So here's another fun fact. When they took down the model of Progress City, they packed that up and sent that to sent parts of that to Disney World as well. And you can still see that model that in the original Carousel of Progress, you went up the ramp and heard Mom and Dad talking about Progress City and all that kind of thing. You can still see parts of that if you take a trek around Tomorrowland on the People Mover. I had no idea it was there until I started researching this episode. I knew that there was a layout of Progress City and Walt's vision of Epcot up there. I had no clue that it was tied to the original Carousel of Progress attraction. I'm flabbergasted. I can't wait to go back and say, oh my God, I know that. That's part of the original. That's part of what was in Disneyland in the original. It had to be scaled down, obviously, for where it was. But those connections between everything, that's what makes Disney Disney, right? All those connections, all those things that you can do and connect to one another and to Walt's vision and to some of the original Imagineering vision. That kind of thing just blows my mind. And if people ask me why I'm a Disney fan, why I'm a fan of what Disney does, those are the details that matter to me. Let's have one more fun fact. Again, I told you were potentially going to be a hero at your next Disney trivia night. So there are two Tomorrowland attractions in Walt Disney World that share a birthday of January 15th, 1975. I bet, because of the topic of today's podcast, you're going to guess one of those is the Carousel of Progress, which would be true. But your trivia tidbit for right now is it actually shares an opening date with Disney World's Space Mountain. Interesting. Tomorrowland had two attractions open up on the same day. Honestly, the buildings even look kind of similar. You have your Carousel of Progress building, you have your Space Mountain building, and they opened up on the same day. I just thought that was interesting, and just file that in the back of your head for the next time you're at Disney Trivia. It might come up. So from 1964 to 1973, like I said, Carousel of Progress had very minor changes made to it. That all changed when they moved it to Florida. Instead of a two-story pavilion, it's one story with a loft. That loft makes space, makes way for the People Mover to go through. It got fresh colors of paint on the inside and out, and it switched directions. Previously, in the earlier iterations, it moved clockwise, but the one in Florida actually runs counterclockwise. In the earlier version, the load and unload theater had a kaleidoscope screen that was bright and flashy and had lots of attention drawn to them and the GE logo. In Florida, after tech problems in Disneyland with that kaleidoscope screen, they did the curtains and lights instead, which is what you still see today. As I read that, I wonder how many people at that time said they felt like Disney was taking away the magic, right? We hear that so much today. Disney's taking away the magic. I wonder if the same things happened in 1975 when they opened up and everybody was like, where's the kaleidoscope screens? I don't know. I want the kaleidoscope screens. Okay, sorry. Another big change they had was instead of unloading to another pavilion like the previous version, they made it all one level and folks exited back out into Tomorrowland. times they were a changing. We're talking about the mid-1970s, so they decided to change up the song too. And this is where the song that I thought was the original came from. The Sherman Brothers were brought in and wrote another classic song. It's a great song called The Best Time of Your Life. Now is the time, now is the time, now is the best time of your life. That's how that song kind of goes. And the Sherman Brothers loved Best Time. They thought it was a great song, but they always felt like Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow was a better fit for the attraction. We'll get there because it is the song for the attraction now. We'll get into that more in just a minute. In 1985, GE decides to exit stage left. Their contract expired and they chose not to renew. So the Carousel of Progress closed for a time and all references to GE appliances were removed. So they took out all of the, if John and the family were talking about the GE appliance, if they were talking about the, they were talking about the GE lights, if they were anything like that, they removed all references to that. They took some of the GE logos off of the appliances and that kind of thing. Small little Easter eggs when you go on the ride, you can still see some GE appliance markings that they couldn't get rid of. So they closed it for a while to do that in 85. So then in the early 90s, we actually almost lost the Carousel of Progress. That ride continues to be kind of a low attendance ride because I think just it's a show. It's people don't understand the history of it. And that's one of the big things that I always kind of complain about with Disney fandom or the casual Disney fan is they don't understand the history. And I know Walt always said, I want to keep moving. I want to keep changing. I want to keep updating. I want to keep growing. And Carousel of Progress needs that kind of TLC. They still continue to make some changes to it, but I would be devastated if they were to take that ride completely away and try and do something else with that building or that sign. But in 1993, they released some blueprints and some concept art for a ride or an attraction that would show some flying saucer type ride. Thankfully, that never came to fruition for cost or whatever reason. And over time, the Carousel of Progress was renamed to be Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress and the signage update to the cogs that we all know and love today. So in all of those 1993 changes as they were coming through and because they had closed the ride for a bit, they decided to bring back Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. But in true Disney fashion, they're like, we still have to have an updated version. So they did sort of a jazzy, Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow stylized version. And it's funny because in 1996, just 3 years later, as a special tribute to the dreams of Walt, they brought back the original Sherman Brothers version. Thank goodness. The original version is still the best version of that song. Trying to change it up and make it something it's not just didn't work. And that's one of those things we always ask if Disney's listening. The fact that a stylized version of that song only lasted for 3 years, that tells me that they are listening. I said, there's always been a lot of rumors about Carousel of Progress closing and that kind of thing. So it never has a long line. But remember, they can also load 200 people in and out of that ride every 4 minutes. So even if it doesn't look like a long line, you could have 800 people and it would still only be a 20-minute wait. So rumors often swirl that it's going to be closed down and the space used for something else. So in addition to the 1993 concept of flying saucers, in 2001, after the 9/11 attacks, the ride closed for quite a while. And then after a little bit, they only reopened it seasonally when they needed to eat people, as they say. If crowds were really high, they would open it because there'd be potential for, 800 people sitting in there at the same time, 800 people in line. That's a lot of people that aren't standing in line for some of the other attractions, for Pirates or Haunted Mansion or that kind of thing. So they would only open it seasonally. And this caused a lot of people in fan theories to think that it would be closing forever soon. However, Disney themselves have consistently said they don't have any plans for closing the ride permanently, And as recently as this year, they've made some wardrobe changes to the final scene to make it feel more updated and to provide a few Easter eggs. So the final scene up until 2022, when this is being recorded, they had like the clothes were early 2000s. The look of everybody in the family was 2000. Like in 93, when it reopened, they imagined what the year 2000 would be in 1993. So early iterations of voice control, those kind of things are all there. So instead of re-recording all the audio and that kind of thing, just this year, they've bumped it up to where the kids are wearing more modern clothing. The adults are wearing more modern clothing. The grandparents don't look like they're stuck in 1970. They look like they're stuck in 1990, that kind of thing. So here's a few of the Easter eggs that you can watch out for if you're going to be in the park at Carousel of Progress. So first, Trish, the daughter, is wearing school gear for the Progress Tech School of Urban Planning, paying homage to Progress City and Epcot. Trish and James, the son, are both wearing reindeer slippers that look just like the reindeer from the Disney Christmas Time Parade. James, the son, is wearing a hoodie with Mineral King Ski Resort on it. That calls reference to an idea that Walt had for a Colorado Disney resort that he had before his death. It never came to fruition, but it's calling back to that idea that he had. John, the father, is wearing a My Food Rocks apron, calling back to the now-closed Food Rocks attraction at Epcot, which is a fun little detail. And those are the kind of little details that I absolutely live for around Disney. And honestly, I've not seen any other parks, any other place do that quite as well as Disney does. So that is really, when I think about Carousel of Progress, that's where I'm at with it, is it's a fantastic ride. There's so many things to do and so many connections to the past. And I'll tell you, in all of this episode, there's things, little details that I left out. I there's just no way with a ride that's been around for, what, 60 years now. There's no way you can go in and give all the details in a 20 to 30 minute like quick rundown of what this attraction is all about. But it's just a fantastic ride. But before I leave, I want to give you just a few other little fun facts. Again, making you a trivia hero. I think I mentioned it in an episode. It may have been last season. I don't know 100%. But one of the things is that this ride system, so the carousel idea of having a theater, moving it, loading into an empty theater, moving it, loading into an empty theater, is something that is used in Galaxy's Edge, both in Disneyland and Disney World, for a little ride called Smuggler's Run. It improves the capacity for that ride. So there's like six different, basically carousels that they're loading into for that attraction that just spin around so they can get more people. Because that ride, each of those ride cars in Smuggler's Run only holds six people. So that one, it takes a long time to move through all the people. So they couldn't just do like six cars. You'd only get 300 people a day through that ride. So they built them in that sort of carousel where they all have different fingers that you load into, you exit into different spots. So when the next one comes, it's empty. You just walk in. You don't have to wait for people to leave. They use all of those ideas over and over and over again. Okay, another fun fact. The current voice of the father in the iteration of the ride is Gene Shepard. You might recognize his voice as the narrator of A Christmas Story. He also wrote the movie, or the story that became the movie A Christmas Story, and just has an absolutely iconic voice. Sadly, he passed away in 1999, so if they do need to do any re-recording or anything like that, they're probably going to have to change voices, and that, again, will be a sad day. That kind of thing happens. Eventually, it will have to happen as they update the scenes and do some changes. They'll have to do that, but that'll be a very sad day. Here's another interesting voice talent piece of trivia for you. Uncle Orville, who utters what I think is the best line that I mentioned earlier, is voiced by none other than Bugs Bunny himself, Mel Blanc. Mel Blanc. Bugs Bunny. He's can't get no privacy at all around here. I just love that, and I had no clue until I started researching this episode that was Mel Blanc. And we also know that there's no such thing as a truly original idea. People build off of things all the time, and that's what they do. They just make it better. The idea for even Walt's original concept of Edison Square was he drew inspiration from an exhibition at the 1933 Century of Progress Exposition in Chicago that featured four rooms of a typical Chicago home in various decades prior to the exhibition. So he saw that, took his ideas from it, and eventually that became what we know as the Carousel of Progress today. Now, from the macabre. You may have heard a rumor that someone died while working on the Carousel of Progress, while a person who was helping move the show along and that kind of thing passed while they were working on that show. The rumor is partially true. There was a young 18-year-old woman named Debbie Stone that was tragically crushed between two of the walls in what was the Carousel of Progress theater that were moving during one of the scene changes. But it was actually on the America Sings attraction that replaced the Carousel of Progress in Disneyland. I think that was in 75 or 76 when that happened. And so sad for that young lady's family, but an interesting bit of trivia too. And they've put in a lot more safety features in both what was America Sings and Carousel of Progress to make sure that something like that doesn't happen again. Now, from the macabre to the slightly less macabre. There's a fairly unknown, or at least I think it's an unknown fan theory, because I hadn't heard it until I was doing a little bit of research. In the 1920s scene, Grandma from the Carousel of Progress is sitting in a rocking chair listening to the radio. The fan theory is that when she passed sometime after the 1920s scene, she made her way to be one of the ghosts in the Haunted Mansion. So in the Haunted Mansion, you can actually see an obviously ghostly woman sitting in a rocking chair with the same style hair, sitting next to the same style table with the same lamp, rocking back and forth in the same way. That would mean 1920 Grandma at some point passed away and found her way to be one of the 999 happy haunts. You can actually look for that in the video. So if you, even if you're not at the parks, I encourage you to look for it in the parks. Go watch Carousel of Progress, then go ride Haunted Mansion and see if you can spot her. But you can also do that on YouTube. Watch the Carousel of Progress, watch for Grandma listening to the radio, and then watch a ride through of Haunted Mansion and see if you can spot the 1920s Grandma. Okay. This whole thing has gotten away from me a little bit. But as you can tell, I'm passionate about this ride, about this attraction. I think it's my favorite attraction, again, in all of the parks. And honestly, thank you so much for listening and letting me go down this rabbit hole with you. I appreciate all of you so, so much. Make sure you check us out on our socials. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Reddit. You can find us on any of those. Interact with us. Let us know if you have story ideas or things that you want us to talk about. If you have little tidbits of interesting fan theories or Disney trivia that you want us to investigate and check into, we'll do all of that. And again, I appreciate all of you listening. And remember, there is a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day.